Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, fans and non-fans. Welcome to the Midnight Garden with your host, Mato Sasquatch. And he's not here yet, but I'll go get him. No, it's me. I'm Mato Sasquatch. And this is my, now I'm, see, I'm annoying myself already. Hold on. That's the wrong direction. I've been recording my shows here on video and posting them to Facebook. And today I moved my computer to another part of the room, and I could see all kinds of crap behind me that I won't be able to see. So I have positioned my chair so that I'm in front of the crap. So if you watch this thing on Facebook, you won't see the crap. It's stuff I have out for recycling, and I haven't taken it yet. But it is kind of an eyesore. Things in my problem. I'm the only one who sees them, except when I invite the internet in. That's part of my my Midnight Garden radio show. And I probably shouldn't have my glasses on either, but I'm going to read something here very shortly. So I'll read something and then I'll take the glasses off. This is an annoying reflection of the computer screen in them now. So that'll be gone soon again. If you're just listening to this on Blog Talk and you don't have any intention of going to the Facebook page and watching the video, then it means nothing to you whatsoever. But welcome, everyone. Please welcome, join me as we sit between, what can we sit between tonight? Let's sit between the cucumbers and the peaches. Those are two good things. We'll sit between those and we'll talk of things great and small, recent and past. I don't know. I used to have two different things I said there, but I forgot what the second one was. Really ought to write these things down. Okay, so. Oh, excuse me, here we are. And let me just, I'll say one thing that kind of dovetails off of last week's show. I do want to let you know that my friend is doing much better. Has a lot further to go, but she's having a battle with cancer and was in a rough place. And I focused the whole show from last week on a visit with her and the sort of reactions to that and the thoughts I had to that. Well, no such thing this week. However, I did have an idea. Last week I was going to pull a tarot card, and then I didn't because it seemed not weighty enough given the topic of the show I was doing. But we have a week of distance, and she's doing better, so hell, why don't we look at it there? I won't do what I was going to do, which was something to do with the possibility of romance with people one might meet in a hospital room when you're going to visit somebody else. Instead, I just I drew a card in general, future? I hate to say the future. Predicting the future! That's not really what this is about, but this prospect, looking ahead, I guess that is, I don't know, I have to think of something better. But about my friend, I drew a card for her, and that's we just see what it says. And before I show it to you, I do want to emphasize, I am not a tarot reader. No, not in any way, shape, or form do I read tarot. But I was given a deck of tarot cards by Chief Iggy, in the hopes that I would begin to develop some of my divination skills. And to be perfectly honest, I really haven't, but I do enjoy the cards. They are very, very well, I like the art on them, and they're very well done. And they are. I've enjoyed learning a bit more about tarot because the cards I have are sort of stylized tarot cards, sort of pushed more towards indigenous medicine than I guess standard tarot, is that really what you would call it? The British traditional, let's go traditional tarot that is more of a European and before that a Middle Eastern sort of art form. And it's also the same form where our deck of playing cards come from. We got four suits of 13 cards each, except tarot has an extra suit called the Major Arcana or Arcana, depending on your royalties. And each card kind of means something, and then you proceed with the divination through a series of cards, a layout and how the cards work together, I guess. And that's where the that's the function of the reader is to, because the reader will first of all memorize all those cards, which I haven't done, as you'll see here in a minute. As you know, the reader first knows the divination meaning of all the cards, and then when the reader sees them laid out, says, "Oh, this goes with this, and this influences this in this way, and so forth." So I cannot do any of that. So I mean, all I've done is I have pulled a card, and I'm going to see what the books. So I have two books. My two books say about those cards, and maybe that will push me in a direction, and maybe it won't. But anyway, I'm going to show you this card. I pull this, it's okay. This is for my friend. I don't know why. I used to be very cagey. I don't want to use anybody's. I guess if it's somebody else, I don't really want to use the name if I have master permission. So I apologize for all of this, the awkwardness about not using the name. I haven't used the name in, I'm not going to. For her, I said, okay, and I said, I'm going to pull this card for my friend, see, what maybe things, what the future holds. Maybe that's what the future holds for my friend. And here's the card that I pulled. You can see that, well, unless I'm Blog Talk, you can't see it. Someone helped describe it. It's card number 6 from the Major Arcana, or Arcana, depending on who else is. And it is love. And there's I keep forgetting that on the camera that the direction is the opposite of the one that I'm holding it. So I'm trying to adjust. Holding the card in one direction keeps drifting the other way. But there's a very large male spirit figure. At the top of the picture, and then at the bottom of the picture, there is a young couple having, I believe it's what they call a binding exercise, and then when they put the little piece of put a piece of rope around your elbows and your wrists, and that makes you sort of married, not exactly married in the Western Western Christian sense, but married in a certain sense, you put together. Well, they've done this, only they've done it with a snake, which is something that you see a lot in these cards, that they're they substitute the more classic, the more traditional symbols with nature symbols. And there's they're all in incredibly good shape. I noticed that. And all the human figures and all the spirit figures as well are all they've been working out. There's no question about it. Let's see what we got for rule number 6. I'm going to check on the little Shaman Tarot book first, a little book that came with the set of cards. Number 6, the Major Arcana, or Arcana, depending on your loyalties. Number 6 is love, the attracting force that links the visible world to the invisible world. Union of different environments, common viewpoints, falling in love. I mean, they might actually mean just what it says, love. Or it can be let's look at this first one, the attracting force that links the visible world to the invisible world, which some of the old shamanism is all about, what is seen and what is not seen. And there's a little piece of that in Christianity, too. I mean, one of the creeds, you say that you believe in all this, seen and unseen. And this is, love can stand for that which is holding those things together. And this is the card I pulled for my friend about the attracting source between that which is seen and that which is unseen. When I think about the influence she has had over me during this time, and sort of reevaluation of my goals and the things I want to get done in the time I have left. And I know she has a profound impact on all of the people in her circle. And maybe that's something of the attracting force that links the visible world. And that's going to be the next one also, a union of different environments, also common viewpoints. She brought together a number of people who don't really have all that much in common except their love for her and their willingness to work for her and help her. I think what that would also show up in that willingness to help would also show up in other situations. So maybe that's, you know, as I was saying, there's like that infinite that thing that played on me might also play on someone else. Now here's here in my tarot, my classic tarot book, a couple of representations of this same thing. But here it's the Lovers, just the more classical of depiction. So this wall here, look at this one. This is the same, basically the same picture with different forms substituted. You have the angel instead of the spirit figure, and then the two lovers there at the bottom. Except our lovers had a little bit of clothing on. These guys don't have a stitch. The second one, lovers. Here's at least like oh my. It's like two cherub-like figures on the bottom here, and then they've replaced a lot of things on this one. Anyway, that's it's just wonderfully exciting when I read from a book from Michelle, but I promise I won't read for very long. This is Susan Levitt's book, Introduction to Tarot, which I like very much. Next archetype on the tarot journey is the Blissful Lovers. This card balances and unites the extremes of the freedom-loving energies of the first four cards and the dominating energies of the last two. The Lovers is a blending of male and female and is ruled by the androgynous astrology sign of Gemini. I didn't know that. Androgynous. This tarot card illustrates the sacred marriage of dark and light within one's own being. Synthesis of the subjective and knowing inner self and the outer and active observing. And I'll skip over a little bit and get to the divination meaning. This is what the tarot reader is supposed to memorize and know and carry with them all the time. More than the concept of finding a lover, this card is also the... More than the concept of finding a lover, comma, this card is also the pertaining to alchemy, but I don't know how you pronounce it, alchemical blend within yourself. The point at which you feel in love with the world and, more importantly, in love with yourself. The positive mental outlook and strong self-esteem leaves one open to experience healthy, loving relationships. Also indicated is the ability to freely express emotions and to trust your feelings. This is a very fortunate card. And I am happy very much that I drew a very fortunate card for my friend, and I am going to make sure I discuss all of this with her. The thing is, I think she is probably turned in for the night because when I drew this card, I mean, it amused me immediately that that's the one I drew. So I exercised my new phone skills and took a picture and messaged it to her. Just along with a quick message. So this is the card I pulled for you. And I didn't hear back from her. So either I insulted her so much that she's never going to talk to me again, which I don't think is the case, or she's just taking a snooze and I'll hear back from her tomorrow. But I am very, I don't know how much she personally is into tarot. I've never seen her read cards, so I don't know, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me. She came back and rattled all that stuff off to me that I just read without a second thought, so. That's Charming Tarot for today. I wish it was sponsored by somebody, but it's not. Would be a good sponsor for Charming Tarot. So maybe if you could, maybe some sort of snack, I think, because you could do a commercial with the snack in a bowl. You're like Cracker Jack or something. It's there in a bowl, and you're reading the cards, and there it is. It's like I can't get it. You know, I just don't get this. I mean, take a handful of Cracker Jack and it re-energizes you. Yes, I see now. I see where your destiny is going now, and it's all thanks to Cracker Jack. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and put this back in the box so I don't forget. There have been times when I've done a reading I've looked at a card. I don't actually do readings. I've had that criticism before. So don't say that you do readings when you don't do readings. You're right. I don't do readings. So I look at a card and I read something out of a book. But I have been times I have looked at cards and read things out of books. So I'll go ahead and take my glasses off. Here we go. No more annoying glare. So I've done that and then had someone complain, "You're not a real tarot reader." And it's not. And I don't know where you get your qualification for or your credential for on that. You learn it. I think you learn it from someone else, someone who's been doing tarot. You sit down with them and they teach you. And then that's, I think, this is the way most of these things go. And at some point they say, "Okay, you ready? Cool." And then you're a tarot person. You're in the tarot. I don't know if I want that kind of responsibility. If I want the responsibility of reading what's coming and delivering that information to someone else. I've done readings on the air before, psychic reading. I don't think I'm a psychic either. But it's a matter of listening to the person and trying to sense in their voice and their manner what was going on. And it seemed to go all right most of the time. But again, I thought that same thing. I thought, what if I tell them something and they go off and leave their wife or something based on what I said? And I'm wrong. What if I'm wrong? Where do we go with that? You know, so I don't know. For those of you who are watching this, watching the camera feed. It's not a camera feed. I'm just recording it. And then I'll stick it up on the internet sometime in the next couple of days. It always takes me a little while because I have to get to the library to do it. And then it's the only thing I can do at the library because it takes about my whole battery charge to get the thing uploaded. So your battery life just declines and declines and declines over the years, and one day I won't have enough battery power to do that. And I've looked around for outlets in my library, and I haven't found any. Lots of places used to. It's like clocks disappeared at one point, and now outlets have disappeared. You don't have anything to plug your stuff into anymore. What else? I have not heard back from that national chain pharmacy that I applied to, started to apply to. I don't know if I even talked about that at all last week. I had been trying to apply to them. I had gone to pick up my prescriptions, and I saw they had a sign up there saying they're going to hire pharmacy techs. I wouldn't have given that a second thought. I don't feel the need to rush off and look at other jobs that are roughly the same as the one I have now. Except that job would be like right in my neighborhood as opposed to halfway across the state like I have to do that job that I have now. So I talked to the pharmacist and they talked up the company and talked up the job and said they really needed to get somebody in quickly, which made me feel very hopeful. And then they handed me some paperwork and then said, you need to take this code number and give it to the, type it in on our website. And you'll do some stuff there. And, oh, shit. That's where it always goes wrong. They give me, I think it's personally, it's a psychological test is what I think is tripping me up. But I know I've had that, from the time I started encountering that psychological test. And I've been in a number of situations where the interview seemed to go well and everybody I talked to seemed to like me and you're really looking to get somebody in really quick. And then they set me down in front of that computer and had me take that test and I was out. Thank you very much for applying. Don't think we can use you at this time. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. And this most recent one I did, which I mean is a lot of stuff, is about 2 hours over 3 days it took me to get through all of this. And then I finished on Monday. And the last message they gave me was that if if I wasn't a match for them, I wouldn't hear anything. The only way I would hear anything is if they wanted to hire me. So I'm getting, that's the thing about the psych test, you get no feedback whatsoever. They don't tell you what it was about it that they didn't like, what it was about your answers that they didn't like. Well, here at this pharmacy place, not only did they not give you that feedback, they didn't even give you a personal message or even a form message that you have indeed failed. You just get to assume that you failed because they didn't call you. You either failed or they lost your number, one of the two. Well, anyway, I have not heard from them, so I am presuming that I am a washout once again. And I had already I had said at one point no more retail for that very reason. Pharmacy tech would probably be a little bit more than retail. It would be, please forgive me for saying this, my retail brothers and sisters, but the pharmacy tech is probably a bit more honorable. Not honorable, that's not the word I want. That's the word I want. You tell people you sell shoes, like, oh, God, and you sell me on pharmacy tech. Oh, pharmacy tech, pharmacy. It's a little bit more when you get to wear the white coat, you know. It's more kind of where I saw myself when I was in college getting those 2 degrees. I don't know if I told this story on the air or not. I haven't written it down either. I know I haven't, and I want to. When I was at the FedEx, I'll go ahead and use their name because I don't care. I was working last year at FedEx along the holiday season, but that wasn't where I was working. They had me in this computer division where you have to repackage recycled computer parts and send them off to various places to use them. And they wanted me doing the 42 packages an hour is what you're supposed to be doing. And I was hanging around 16 or 17, so I knew my days were numbered. And but they had a few days before I left, we had a little company meeting. We went out to one of the empty sections. It's huge. It's a deserted Air Force base. And FedEx and some other people have taken it over and have been filling it up. So I went over to this, along with everybody else, to this empty spot. And the office people came in and they had all this wonderful news about a new client who's coming in. And they were cosmetics. Cosmetics. Movie. He did blow dryers and other things like that that had sort of mechanical parts. And he's doing reclaiming of those in addition to the reclaiming of the computer stuff. You take the motor and send it here and take, whatever, fan. And I go, well, great. And I didn't expect I would be around to have a part in that, but interesting. And I found myself, because these people, the office people, the general manager and the plant manager and the people who the sales people who talked to the cosmetics company and all of that, they were there. And I found myself, originally, of course, I'm standing with my compatriots from the sorting line. And I found myself sort of sneaking closer and closer to the people from the office. See, maybe they would recognize me if I got close to them. If I separated myself physically a bit from the herd, they would recognize that I was really one of them, and they would take me with them and restore me to my former position of greatness. I don't know about a position of greatness. That's to my position of what do I want to call it? The feeling like have some measure of respect, which I don't feel anymore. I don't feel like a respected person. I feel like a cog in the machine, and it really bothers me. And this is probably what they're yeah, kind of stupid psychological test. That's stupid. I'm quite sure that's what that just as divining it, that the tarot-like nature, if you will, of the psychological cast is that it's getting into my head before I even know it, and it's identifying that this guy's not. He's not going to be good for this retail sales job because he's going to hate it. He's not going to have that sort of attitude that we expect. He's always going to be trying to rethink things and put things in different boxes and rewrite the procedures. And I've never tried to do that. I thought about it a couple of times. No, I'm not being paid for that. One of my cohorts has gone in, you know, to figure out a different way to do the schedule, because we don't get our work schedule. There's been days that I didn't know on Friday if I was working on Sunday or not. So she had figured out a much more organized way to do the scheduling, and the manager was just beside herself. She did not want her doing that sort of thing. And it's like, what is it we're talking about here? What is you're assigned to a certain certain caste? Is that what it's called? I'm trying to remember my Gandhi. Where everyone kind of gets in this assigned to a certain modality very early in life, and you can never get out of it. It's based on, I think in caste systems, it's mostly based on who your parents are. You do whatever they did. In Japan, it's based on a test that they give you, you're like 13 years old, and there's no going back from it. Whatever it is that you do on that test, that's it. And don't have anything like that, not like that here, thank goodness. At least not until you're trying to get a job at a retail place and they give you the psychological test. It was the test. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. I've seen it in different forms. The one I've seen most commonly is they give you two statements that really aren't related in any way, and you have to pick the one that's most true about you. Like one statement would be, I prefer following my boss's instructions rather than figuring things out for myself. And the other one would be, you should always help a customer with many packages open the door. You know, which one of those things? It's just they're not hooked up in any way. How do you make one go into the other? How do you make an algorithm for that? How do you calculate that? I must, but I cannot. In my 90-second warning, just as I'm getting into some good robot monster. Well, thank you for listening this evening, and I promise I will be back next week with more ramblings for you, and I wish you all a good week, a productive week, and we'll meet back here at the Garden next time. Thank you so much.